From Evermank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
And welcome into the HananiaAutos.com studio at Evermank Field. This is Jaguars.com Live, presented by Evermank. JP Shadrick with you, Brian Sexton and John Osier coming up. You can get in on the show today as well at Jaguars, at JP Shadrick, at John Osier, at Jags Voice. Plenty to get to today. Julius Thomas scheduled to join us in studio, Jaguars tight end. OTAs are next on the schedule. They start, in fact, on Tuesday, just outside of Evermank Field. And we'll play a game of this or that, Sexton versus Osier. I guess this is part 10, guys. Brian Sexton and John Osier are with us now. What's up?
Oh, we're going.
Yeah.
Part 10.
All I know is I'm taking a little bit of John's private FaceTime in the camera. So while I may not be winning at this or that, I'm gaining on him.
You're winning in life. It's more important.
With that peppy little music in my head, John.
This or that.
OTAs are next. What's the biggest storyline starting on Tuesday for this team? It's got to be offense, right? Everything's about Blake.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's Blake Bortles.
Yeah, I think the storyline until it's not, which could be next year, 5 years from now, is Blake Bortles and how he develops. And it's particularly intense or focused right now because of all the work he did in the offseason. And nobody's really seen any of the results from that. I don't know how much we're going to know about the staying power of that work, meaning it's going to be, I think, relatively easy during OTAs for him to use what he has worked on. And even when we see it during OTAs, there'll be the question of, okay.
You're talking about muscle memory now.
Yeah, all the fundamental stuff, all of the things that he's worked on. It's much easier to translate that, of course, onto the field in OTAs without contact than it will be during preseason and regular season. Still, I think everybody wants to see what the results of that work is and hear what he has to say about the results of that work once he gets a couple of days in.
Well, and obviously it'll be our first chance to see. We'd heard last year that one of his great selling points was his love of the game. He was a gym rat. He was going to get things done during the offseason. And he's talked the game. Now we get to see exactly where he's at this. That was one of the things that Gus talked about at length last year about this kid, is his love for the game and his passion to improve. And we're going to find out.
Well, I think he's already shown that by doing the work he did for 2 months in California. But as you said, Brian, now we're going to see.
I'm from Missouri. Talk is cheap. Show me.
Well, he already did it.
No, let's see what you did, though.
Right.
Let's see what you did.
Now we've got to see the results.
That's what I'm saying.
So.
Well, it's also important to see how this coaching staff interacts with veteran players. New offensive coaching staff. How do you install a new offense, and how do the players take to that? That's got to be a storyline, too.
Well, and we're talking about a guy in Greg Olsen who comes in with, on his resume, a pretty quick job with the quarterback car in Oakland last year. Got him performing at a high level. So we're all anxious to see, can you do that in year two? Remember, he did it out there with not a lot of great options, not a lot of great targets, not even a strong running game. What he did was he put an offensive line together and taught David Carr how to function in the offense. Well, we're going to see. He's had limited time with Blake. So right now it's tough to be able to go out there and go, oh, there it is. But over the course of the next couple of weeks and into training camp, we should be able to see those things.
I thought you were using a strange football cliche I hadn't heard of, the quarterback car, back then when you referred to that. Yeah. So I may start.
Well, I heard that peppy little music again.
It was good music. But, yeah, I mean, this will be an ongoing part of the install. I mean, they've done a lot. They've obviously had some meetings beforehand, but now going out on the field, that process continues as we go forward during OTA.
Well, you remember now, Carr also said that one of the things that Greg Olsen is very good at, in fact, I think Stefan Wisniewski alluded to it also, is he knows how to get his guys in a position where they understand exactly what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if he's been able to do that, at least to whatever limited amount they've installed.
Right, and to further build on that, he's also huge, Greg Olsen is, on making sure that pass protection is understood. Obviously, as many sacks as this team gave up, everybody on this offense has to understand how to not give up sacks. It's going to start with the offensive line, but it'll also be about Blake Bortles, I think, when Greg and Blake start talking about these things or continue talking about these things. It's going to be about how do we get the ball out? How do we not have negative plays on first and second down?
you can't get a lot of that pass protection stuff done during OTAs, right? It's non-contact. Right?
Well, I think you can get on the same page in terms of signals, in terms of what you're looking for, in terms of the actual physical nature of pass blocking, no. But in terms of the things that lacked at times last year, which was continuity and which was knowing what was coming, being able to pick up blitzing, I think you can work on that during a game.
Well, and it's the quarterback. You just said it. It's the quarterback working with the offensive line, identifying what the defense is doing, calling out the right protections. And then, let's be honest, these are big, strong guys. They understand how to drop their hips and, you know, get their arms in front of that. That's unspoken.
They better.
Right? They better. They're here. They better know how to do that. What we're talking about is games and stunts and things and, you know, getting guys who are working together for the very first time next to each other, whether, and it won't be Wisniewski now, obviously, because he won't work until training camp, but Jeremy Parnell and Brandon Linder, right? Just like last year, it was Beatles and Jokel. And if Can steps into the mix on a legitimate competitive basis, well, then you're going to have a guard between a center and a tackle that he's never worked with before. So it's identification, and that you can really get a lot done.
And a big time for Doug Marrone, who starts working with these guys on the field, too, during these few weeks, dating back to a couple weeks ago.
A couple of notes about OTAs. 10 practices over the next few weeks, 3 of them next week. None are open to the public and very limited reporting during practices. And we'll have, of course, post-practice coverage most days here on Jaguars.com.
My guess is there'll be open access. Mini camp is after OTAs. There's a 3-day mini camp. Would be surprised if the fans aren't able to access that at least once.
And the OTA schedule.
Little teaser there, JP.
Yeah, teaser. We'll see if that comes true in the next few weeks. It's time for a game we call
This or That. This or That.
It is called This or That. We go with number one. Off-season workouts. Should there be football all year round or just have a mini camp and training camp and go for it?
Well, I can feel as passionately about this as I want. My answer is not going to change it. I wouldn't mind seeing them get back to where it's a lot more training camp oriented. I'm not saying not to.
You're going old school?
I'm going old school.
Which is
ironic. Ironic. You could probably go older school.
Here we go.
But
you're,
who's older?
Hello, Osh. Well, he's Osh older than me, but he's a new school guy with offense. So, okay, so you're going old school. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, you know, I kind of harken back, as you do too, of the days where.
Harken back.
There was a time. Even not so long ago. Where the OTAs weren't quite as big a deal as they are now.
Right.
You'd have them, but they weren't covered by everybody. It didn't feel like a second training camp. It's gotten to the point now where you really sort of have two training camps, which is fine, but for the sake of this argument, I'll say let's just get back to where it's just training camp, 6 weeks, get them in a dorm and go after it. Right, Brian?
No. Right. No, I'm going to go with the new school approach, and I like this because they're so limited now in how much they can converse with the coaches and how much you can actually work with them. I want to see the time on the field through these OTAs all year round, if that's what it takes, so that the game improves. Because we see, I mean, you
work them in January and February. That's what I was saying.
You take a little time
off. Keep going.
You take a little time off here, but you can get a lot of things done in the classroom, and you can get plenty done during the OTAs to help improve the quality of the game. Because we've seen some slippage the last couple of years. We've seen some of that. And I think that going all year round allows guys to be at their very best, mentally, more so than physically.
Brian, a winner in question number one. John behind
you
the eight
like
ball.
You just like that
now.
Little slippage word.
Well, harking back was pretty good, too.
Number two, the Tom Coughlin J-Fund Gala was this week. Tom Coughlin or Tony Boselli, which former Jag goes in the Hall of Fame first?
Well, I'm going to say Tony Boselli should, because I've said all along, I thought he was the best player in this franchise's history. He's a guy who made 5 Pro Bowls, would have made a lot more had his career not got cutting short by the injuries.
We're inventing words today.
Right? So I firmly believe he was the best player at his position during the golden era of a position. So if somebody's going to go, and at some point this franchise is going to have a Hall of Famer, I think Tony Boselli should be the first one.
Well, I think the first one will be Tom, and he'll go in as a Giants head coach because that's where he won 2 Super Bowls. But my vote goes for Tom Coughlin. He came in here and became the most successful expansion coach in NFL history. 2 AFC championship games in the first 5 years. Got fired, largely for salary cap issues, and then went to New York and reinvented himself, right? Here he had both hats. There he only had the coach's hat. And I think getting fired really was the turning point in his career because he did what he did best. He evolved, and he became a Super Bowl coach, winning two of them, is a surefire Hall of Famer. And I think the thing that stands out the most is, boy, and you remember this, those guys hated dealing with him back in the day. The rules and all of that nonsense. He was a tough guy to get along with in the early days. However, all of them would play for him now in a heartbeat. A lot of them were out at the J Fund the other night, and all of them looked at him longingly.
And they always say, Brian, to build on your point, they always say within a year or two they thought that.
Yeah.
They would go to other teams, and I've had different players tell me how much more prepared, and they never felt under Tom like they didn't have a chance to win. Wasn't always like that once he got away from.
Tom would work late hours, and he wouldn't waste a moment. He worked all the time. And here's the thing about him. You knew what you got. There was no area of gray. It was right or wrong, black or white, however you want to phrase it. But you always got what you expected from Tom.
The first time ever, Brian's won the first two questions, so a lame duck third question coming. Yeah. Offense or defense, what's the most interesting storyline in OTA?
Well, let's just go with the winner. Let's let him talk.
Sweep! Thank you very much. I'd like to thank the Academy, both of my parents, my twin brother.
Wow. Brian.
Yeah, thank you very much.
The big winner today. Speaking of the J Fund, it's a chance for a lot of former Jags to come back, and you had a chance to catch up with Fred Taylor.
Well, and I was going to say, I mean, I know you're going to say offensive storylines, so, yes. And since I already won, I'll go defensive storylines, because how are they going to compensate for the loss of that explosive edge rusher? Gus and Dave have talked about creating more turnovers, and that's what they expected Fowler to do, to create more pressure situations for the quarterback. Fred Taylor was out on the driving range the other day, and I grabbed him and asked him, because I know his son, Fred, what's his son's name?
Kelvin,
there you go. I don't even know. His son and Dante are very, very close, and I know Fred has a good relationship with Dante, so just asked him, how do you think he's going to do?
I think he'll be fine. You know, you've seen guys either they're going to come back and get stronger from it, and that thing is going to pretend that it's never been there, or they're going to not be able to, cut the corner. So I think he'll be fine because he's a kid that's motivated, always been high energy and good character and outgoing, very humble, though. But I think he'll fight his way back.
By the way, that's a Hall of Famer in my book right there, Fred.
Yeah, he's high on the list, no doubt. Good stuff as always, guys. Brian, we're kicking you out of here.
I'd like
That's three in a row, by
winner,
the way.
Winner, right here.
Three in a row for Brian Sexton.
The game, move on.
New league record.
Yeah, well, the game is, the playing field has been leveled.
Season tickets. Get more in 2015. Become a Jags season ticket member. Get access to amazing benefits 365 days a year. Great seating options are available for any budget. Visit jaguars.com/tickets or call and speak to an account manager today at 633-2000. And when you get those season tickets, you'll be able to see our next guest, new Jaguars tight end Julius Thomas. I guess it's not even new anymore. You're just a Jaguars tight end now, and it's good to have you. Thanks for coming in today. We appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, thank you. It was new about a month ago now. You know, I'm part of the team, been working, and very excited to be here and be a part of a new offensive philosophy, and we've been having some fun.
How is that new philosophy going? And how hard is it to install a new philosophy for the group here? You're new to the group itself, but it's a lot of new going on at the same time.
Absolutely. A lot of people don't understand how much goes into being a successful offense and being efficient out there. It takes so much work to really go out there and repeat and repeat and repeat and understand what everybody's doing. You know, you gotta to know more than just your position most of the time to go out there and have success. So, we're getting after it. It's an exciting offense. I think people are going to be very pleased to see the creativity and the things we'll be able to do. Also, the explosive options that we'll be able to have, with some of the concepts. And, you know, we're really excited about it. I'm a big believer in the system, so definitely looking forward to it.
You're in a very unique situation in that you're coming in as a veteran, a new guy. At the same time, big-time free agent, came from Denver, a winning franchise. So there's an expectation of leadership as well. How are you balancing that, and how comfortable are you with that role?
You know, it's actually it's been very comfortable for me. you know, talking to Coach Gus, you know, early on and being here, and he told me, you know, the only thing I ask from you is to genuinely help others. You know, don't have any agenda. Just, you know, throw your arm around a guy and say, hey, you know, let's work on this, or, you know, how can I help with this? So, you know, that's it's part of my personality, so it fits. You know, I believe in leading by example. So I'll go out to practice every day and, you know, show people how I work and how much passion and kind of precision I put into what it takes to be a good football player in this league. And if the young guys, you know, if they need anything, want to talk about anything, or if they just want to, you know, kind of look the left or look right and, you know, see kind of what it takes, you know, I just want to be that that leadership example for them.
Does it feel like the right place at the right time? Like maybe 2 years ago you wouldn't have been ready for that sort of role, but now it seems like you're comfortable in that.
Absolutely. You know, it does feel like something that I'm ready for. You know, a couple of years ago I was still so new to the game, learning so much and trying to digest my own full plate of things. But now, I've seen a couple of defenses. You know, I've ran a couple of routes. So I'm really excited to be in a position to be somebody the guys can look for and say, okay, that's how we go about what we have to do. You know, be that guy that can, you know, take somebody and say, hey, look, this is what we have to focus on. This is what we have to make sure we're doing at a high level. I'm excited to have the challenge of growing into being a leader and a guy that, you know, people to trust. You know, I think that's what makes you a leader in this league. You know, for a guy to say, you know, what's my route on this concept? Mm-hmm. You know, what are we looking to do here? And then you to be able to give them the knowledge and then them to go have success with it. You know, that's how you gain the trust and you become a leader on your team.
Digesting your whole plate of things. I'll let you handle that one.
Thanks, John. Appreciate that. What do you make of Blake Bortles so far? Off the field, any off-season workouts you've had together, what stands out about Blake?
I think what stands out about him is, you know, just his attitude. You know, he's very easy to get along with. And I think that means a lot as a quarterback when you can go out there and your players feel like they can be comfortable around you. They're excited to play with you. I mean, he has a good amount of excitement to him. You know, we're out there in practice and your quarterback's meeting you 10, 15 yards down the field to say great catch. And those are the little things that, you know, help him be a great leader. And I'm excited to see him grow and continue to get a good grasp of this offense. Like I said, it's so unique and we can do so many different things. And, you know, that's a lot to ask, for everybody in the offense, especially the quarterback. You know, he's going to have to take a lot of time to really make sure that he can to lead the offense and do all the things that, you know, Ole may want to do.
How much of that offense is in? You said it's a process, but how much would you consider installed right now?
I think we officially just finished our last install yesterday or the day before. But, you know, it may have been talked about, but it hasn't been perfected. So, right. You know, here's your 4-inch stack of papers and all the various things we can do. But now you have to go out and learn it. So, you know, in my opinion, I'd say that, you know, we probably got a good grasp of about 15% to 20%. Of the things we can do. Now we got to go through in detail, go through and perfect those different aspects so that we can go out and be successful on Sundays.
Some veterans aren't nuts about OTAs. It's voluntary, it's off season. But it strikes me that with this group right now, maybe OTAs take on an added importance. You're new, yes, second year wide receivers, obviously a new offensive coordinator. How big are the next few weeks in comparison to the OTAs you've been involved with in the past?
You know, I'm a believer that all OTAs are important, no matter what year you're in, no matter which situation. I mean, even if you're, you know, coming into the same offense for the next year, any chance you get an opportunity to work with your teammates is going to pay dividends. And that's why it's very important for us all to be out there and getting on the same page. It doesn't take a long time in this league to get rusty or to lose a little bit of that anticipation. And so, you know, we got to continue to get out there as much as you can so that we're firing all cylinders.
What's your Twitter handle? Julius_Thomas, is
yeah.
that right?
Uh-huh.
I know you're a big kind of a big Twitter guy, right?
Yeah. Twitter is my thing for sure.
Okay, we've got a couple of Twitter questions then.
Okay.
@DrewCharles5 asking, what are your goals for the offense in 2015? It's a little bit of a broad question, but what are goals for this offense?
You know, I think that, you know, our number one goal should be to go out there and limit mistakes. If you want to be a great offense, you gotta eliminate the small mistakes. Those things build up. So the first thing we have to do is limit mistakes, and the next thing we have to do is be there for each other. It's going to get rocky. It's going to get tough, and we're going to have to be able to pull things in close and look each other in the eyes and say, you know what, we're going to make this better. And lastly, you got to make big plays. It's tough to go 14, 13 play drives and score touchdowns in this league. Every once in a while, you're going to need somebody to go out there and make a big play and get the team in a field goal range or put the team in the end zone. So, you know, if we can limit our mistakes, be there for each other and make big plays, you know, I think that's a winning recipe for having offensive success.
A lot of young guys. You mentioned, John, the young wide receivers, a lot of second-year receivers. What do you make of those guys so far, seeing them work out? Robinson and Lee. I don't know if Robinson's running yet, but Lee and Hearns and those guys.
I'm excited about it. You know, those guys are great athletes. They definitely have all the physical tools that they need to go out and be successful on Sundays. And that's an exciting thing for me is to be able to watch those guys work for the first time. You know, you hear about your teammates you're going to play with, then you get to see them, and you get to see the ability they have. And I'm really looking forward to it. You know, it's going to be a big commitment for them. You know, that year going into year two, you know, you have some snaps and under your belt, you know, a little experience, and then you get to decide which kind of player you want to be known as, who you're going to be when you show up on Sundays, and the message you're going to send to the league. And I'm looking forward to what they can do because they are very talented.
Out of all the guys we've talked about so far, I guess give me one wow moment so far. One thing where you've looked at and gone, okay, that's different than what I thought. Either Blake, Marquise, somebody like that, where you said, okay, this is maybe a little better than what I thought.
You know, I don't think I have any wow moments because I didn't come in and say, you know, this is what I expect from anybody on the team. Every guy that is my teammate now, you know, I came in and I said, you know, everybody's going to show me the kind of players they are. This offense is going to show this community and this league the kind of offense we're going to be. You know, there's no ceilings set, but, you know, to see some of those deep corner posts that Hearns can go track down and seeing the way Marquise Lee gets in and out of routes and seeing the kind of physical presence that A-Rob has, man, mm-hmm. It's exciting. And, you know, and then other, even more younger receivers that are still here and they're doing their thing. Definitely the talent is there. And, you know, it just takes that little bit of commitment. That's when you start becoming a veteran. You know, how much time are you going to put in outside of practice?
Another Twitter question. This is from @Duval. Let's see. It's 2 U's, 2 V's, 6 A's, and 2 L's. That's how he spells this. What's your favorite restaurant in Jacksonville so far? We're going off the field, Julius. What do you got?
I think it's going to have to be a Maple Street Biscuit Company.
Wow.
I was very surprised to see a biscuit restaurant. I kind of, you know, enjoy biscuits. You know, I don't know, many people don't. And, to go down there and I went on a Friday afternoon. I think it's like Fridays and Saturdays, the day they kind of open in the evenings. And I was like, wow, this is amazing food. And then, you know, I think I tried to show up on like a Tuesday afternoon. Like, I need to get some more of those biscuits. But it was only open in the morning. So that's definitely a place that I've really enjoyed. And, yeah, that fire jelly, it's something else. Or it's pepper jelly. Pepper jelly, cool. Something else.
Yeah. You're all about that.
It's my new favorite Jaguar.
He's hit
right
your
here.
High note.
Yeah. Final thoughts, Jerry. Next week on the field, official OTAs begin. You got to be pumped, man. You're ready for this, right?
Oh, you can't be more excited. You know, this is your first chance you get to compete. You know, you competed in the meeting room, competed in the weight room, but now you get to compete against, you know, actual physical bodies. So it's exciting to go out there and get a chance to see how each person wants to compete. Get a chance to make some mistakes. You know, that's very important in becoming good at something. So, you know, we look great when we're going there running plays 11-on-0 and you're out there blocking trash cans. But now it's a time for us to really be able to detail what we're doing. And that's why it's so important that, you know, everybody, you know, does their best to be there and be a part of it so we can really start getting the coaching and we can start understanding each and every guy's, you know, kind of differences. You know, it's not easy to throw a football to six different people. You got to know them that well. You got to look and say, okay, this is how quick he is. This is how he gets in and out of breaks. You know, to get that communication between the quarterback, offensive line, tight ends, running backs, a lot goes into it. So these next couple of days are going to be very exciting, and I'm going to get my first chance to see a lot of guys over there on defense. So looking forward to it.
We appreciate your time today, man. Good to see you.
Oh, man. Thank you guys for having me.
Appreciate it, bud.
Yeah, Julius Thomas, problem. Jaguars tight end, joining us on Jaguars.com Live. Join us on radio tomorrow night, Jaguars Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. Tony Buscelli's on an island somewhere, so it's Jeff Loggeman and me tomorrow night at 6 on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Final couple of thoughts with John here. You know,
you're distracted by the biscuit conversation. The biscuit,
it'll distract everybody.
You're talking to me.
The place
you're thinking
is fantastic. but he's focused. He's ready to go, yeah. And it sounds like things are progressing well with the install.
Well, it's impressive to talk to him because he did come in, as he talked about, and immediately had a role that's unique. I mean, he's being asked to be the leader and the spokesman for an offense because he's a guy who's done that before. And it's clear he's embraced that. If you see him on Twitter, if you see him in press conferences, he's ready for that role. So far, so good on that free agency signing. And now we get to see it on the field next week.
Next week, yeah. Tuesday, the first of 10 OTA practices. Strap in and hang on, John.
Strap in, bring your sunscreen, and bring a towel for your sweat. It's going to be hot out there.
It should be. John, well done. Our thanks to Brian Sexton, of course, Julius Thomas, and thanks to you for watching. We'll see you next week. OTAs, it's Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.